The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all on this now, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our Lord this morning, we find, is among his hometown crowd. He's back in Nazareth, preaching, as he always does, the good news of the Gospel. But there is this one little curious detail that I want to mention before I get any too farther into my homily. I'm thinking particularly of this little line here where it says, "The brother of James, is not he the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" So it looks like, on surface value, that Jesus has four brothers and several sisters. But we all know, at least we've always been told and always been taught, that Jesus was the only child of Mary. And so this verse seems to contradict that. Well, it doesn't. So here's the deal. In Greek and Hebrew, the language that was spoken, that was written here in the Gospel, really doesn't have a word for cousin or close family friend. It's just all kind of put under the same word. So when the translation was made, it was made because there's really only one word that they have, and it kind of symbolizes everybody. So James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and the sisters here that the text is referring to are simply probably cousins, most likely cousins, or close family friends. That's it. So does that make sense, everybody? All right. Amen? So Mary only had one child, Jesus, and not all these other children. Okay, amen?
Amen.
All right. But today, though, I really want us to look, not so much at that, though, although that's important, but I want us to really look into, I want to couch or I want to put in the context of this famous statement that Mother Teresa made several years ago. God doesn't call us to be successful, he calls us to be faithful. Let me say that one more time. God does not call us to be successful, he calls us to be faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the first time that I heard that, I thought it had to be an error of some kind. There's no way that could be right. It must have been a misquote. It makes no sense to me, at least when I first heard it, because it seemed like if I was doing everything right, then I would be successful. If I was being a good Christian, if I was preaching the gospel and doing what I was supposed to do and doing it in a very effective and pastoral way, then people would receive it and they'd be converted and everything would be great and everybody would be happy. Right? It seems like if you're doing it right, everything is going to go right. And many times in life and many circumstances, that usually is the case. If you do things the right way, good things usually happen. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, it's not always the case. And today, in the gospel, our Lord himself experiences that very phenomenon himself. Our Lord himself is standing in the synagogue, preaching the gospel, doing what he always does, and he fails pretty much of converting these. It says here that the people took offense at him, and that he was unable to perform any mighty deed there except for curing a few sick people. Our Lord, did he do it wrong? Did he say something not right? Was he not pastoral? Was he not loving and accepting? Was he not merciful? Of course not. He was Jesus. He did this all the time. It was his full-time job. And he did it all the time. And thousands of people were being converted and were listening to Jesus and following him. Apparently, it says here that his disciples accompanied him. So he already had a bunch of disciples who had left everything to follow him all the way up to Nazareth. So apparently he was doing this. He was doing it well. But for whatever reason, his hometown crowd took offense at him and did not follow him. They failed. He failed. So the question is he doing something wrong? Answer is no. So, how does that translate into our lives? Well, here's the thing. Our Lord calls us to be like him all the time, huh? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you all believe that, right? To be a Christian, by definition, it's in the word Christian, is to be like Christ, right? A Christian is one who is like Christ. And so Jesus is calling us to be like him in all things, right? Amen?
Amen.
Now, does he call us to be like him all the time, or maybe just like some of the time, right? Of course not, right? He calls us to be like him all the time, right? Amen? And so he calls us to be like him in proclaiming the gospel, of spreading the good news, of being an evangelizer, of being a missionary disciple, of being someone who goes and spreads the gospel to other people. Now, if you're anything like me, off the top of your head, you probably can think of at least 5 or 6 people who desperately need to hear the gospel preached to them today. I can think of 5 or 6 people right now off the top of my head in my own family that need the gospel preached to them today, like right now. They're struggling. They could really use a word from the Lord today. They could really use the good news preached to them to have them be reminded that God loves them. He has a plan for their lives. They're not accidents. They're not mess-ups. They're not worthless. That they have value, that God loves them, and that he wants them to be in a relationship with him, and that there's nothing that they can do to ever separate themselves from God's love, because God loves them that much. They could really hear that. But I think that sometimes we're so scared to talk to them about this. Sometimes we're so scared to talk to them about this because we don't know how it's going to go. We don't think we're good at it. We don't think we're holy enough, perhaps. And so we hold back because we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be ridiculed, perhaps, by them. We don't want to be, we come up with a million things we don't want to happen. And so we assume somebody else will do it, like Father Brian will do it. Right? That's why they pay me the big bucks, right? Thing is, my dear friends, is the Lord is not calling us to be successful. He's calling us to be faithful. He's calling us to try. He's calling us to be faithful to him and to preach the gospel, whether or not it will be accepted or not, whether or not it will be received well. He's calling us to try, to go out into the deep in faith, and ask people if they know who Jesus is. To ask people if they have a living personal relationship with him. And to talk to them about the glory and the freedom that comes from being a faithful Christian. That's what the Lord's calling us to do. He's not calling us to win. He's not calling us to save everybody, to fix everything. All he's doing is asking us to try. So today at this Mass, I want you to do 2 things. Or at least 2 things. You do a lot of other things, but at least 2 things. First, I want you to pray for perhaps that one person in your life who you feel needs the gospel preached to them by you the most. The one person. Because I know if you're like me, you got lots of people, but perhaps there's just one person who you really, really know that the Lord needs to get to. That one person who, as I'm saying these words, you're thinking of right now in your mind. I want you to pray for that person. And to put that person right up here on this altar mystically and ask the Lord to bless them and to shower upon them all the graces that they need to be converted, to come back home. To pray for that person. To really, really ask the Lord to touch that person. But secondly, I also want you to pray for yourself. To pray to have the courage to be able to go out and to say what you need to say to this person. To have the courage, in other words, to go and preach the gospel to this person. To put it short, or to put it another way, today, let us pray that we might have the courage to be faithful, if not be so worried or anxious about being successful. Amen?